I would ask you to open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a familiar passage of Scripture. I believe if the Lord will continue to direct and to help and to let me put across some of the things that He has given to me and when I was thinking and studying over this message, that it will be perhaps a great encouragement to you. I certainly hope so. Romans chapter 10, we'll start reading in the 13th verse. Paul said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I was going to start in the 14th verse, but I just wanted to say that. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Paul continues, he says, "How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed your report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We'll stop our reading there. Again, this is a very familiar passage, no doubt, to most everyone that's here tonight. And as I said, I intend this to be an encouraging message, but I want to start off with some warnings. We know that since the very beginning of time, the great deceiver has tried to imitate every truth, every institution, every ministry that the Lord has ever set up. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, we find that the serpent came in, the most subtle of all creatures, and he came in and tried to deceive Eve. In fact, he succeeded in that. And ever since then, he's been doing the same thing. We can read countless times throughout the Scriptures in the Old Testament, and we continue in the New Testament, and there's more and more teaching, and we must realize there is a very real spiritual warfare that we are engaged in, whether we realize it or not. And it does us no good to close our eyes or to put our head in the sand, as it were, and to say it's not there, because it continues. And there's no such thing as being neutral. We're moving forward. We are advancing under the banner of Christ and doing the work of the kingdom, or we're being beaten back. That's just the way it is. But as a part of this warfare, what we find, one of the most common deceptions, I think, is to take the truth and then twist it a little, right? Those are the best lies. Those that are rooted in truth. And so we find with any great doctrine that we hold to, because the Bible teaches, we find that we should maintain a balance, because there are extremes on either side, and it doesn't matter if you step off to the right or to the left, you're equally in error. I've heard it said that walking just in truth is sort of like walking on the edge of a razor. It's very easy to get off to one side or to the other. Now, in reality, we do realize that things are by degrees. You could be more or less to one side or the other. But tonight I want to present to you two extremes. For the purposes of illustration, for the purposes of warning, and for the purposes of setting up to come back at the end and then go through this same passage that we just heard and go to this 17th verse and say that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when we view that with a right and biblical balance, it frees us. We see the power that God has for the ministry that He has for us to do, and it should encourage us to share the gospel. So three points tonight. The first two, extreme errors. And then with the Lord's help, we will come back and give a correct and orthodox, a balanced view of this passage, if you will. So let's begin at the very beginning. Extreme number one, you could call it sacramentalism. But for the purposes tonight, I have decided to call it the magic book syndrome, because it's easier to understand or remember. We're very familiar with magic books. We grow up hearing fairy tales and watching shows and movies, and so many of them have magic books. And the way that works is, right, they sometimes have to go searching for this magic book. And when they find it, it's always very old, by the way. I don't know necessarily why that is, but magic books are always old, and they blow the dust off the cover and they open them up and they read the magic words, and as soon as they say those magic words, something great happens. Right? That's the magic book syndrome. In the really good stories, you have to say it just right or be in the right position or hold something. But that's the way that so many people, I think, treat the Word of God and treat the ministry of the church as if it's some magic book that we could just read. And so this is how salvation comes. This is the way they would read this passage. They say, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if I stand up here and I read from this magic book, as it were, then things just happen to you. There's no participation. There's no interaction. They treat it as if you come, if you've been baptized, or if you take communion, or if you sit under the sermon, or any of these things, that just magically transports you, saves you, justifies you, sanctifies you, the whole deal. This is what I'm calling magic book syndrome. This is error. This is great error. On the surface, it seems to hold a high view of the Scriptures and of the church. And those who would hold to this extreme would say, but that's the power. It's in the church. It's in the Word. Do you see how there's some truth in this? Some of that just sort of sounds right, doesn't it? We'll come back to that for a moment. But holding this sacramentalism or this magic book syndrome, as I call it, holding this kind of view, even though it seems like it's holding a high view of the Word and of God's church, what it really does is make us master of God. See, we also know from these stories and these movies that we've talked about with the magic books or the genie lamps, when you do A plus B, it has to be C. Be very careful, church. God is sovereign. He is free and holy. We can never reduce the gospel and the message of salvation or the ministry of church to some magic potion or spell. If you do A plus C, now God, we've got you backed into a corner. You must do this for us. That's not the way it works. Be very careful. Now, again, I'm painting an extreme picture, and I don't think anybody here tonight is subscribed to that extreme view, but be very careful, because by degrees, by just a little bit, because there's just enough truth, because there's a little bit that sounds right, it's very easy to slip to one side or the other, isn't it? We need to be very careful. We are not the masters of God. God says, beginning in the Old Testament, and the message is contained and continued throughout, He says, I am God, and beside me there is none else. God is holy. God is free. We are not the masters of Him. We do not subscribe to this view that this is a magic book, and if we just say these right words, or if we perform this right service, that things magically happen with no interaction with a lost person, do we? But part of the problem with extremes such as this, with errors such as this, part of the problem is that while nobody in this church house tonight would subscribe to this, nobody would put it in our church covenant, no one would put it in their creeds or confessions, yet because we're distracted, because we give in to temptation, because we take our eyes off the prize, we act as if we hold it. And here's what I mean by that. So often in your life, in my life, in our lives, there is little or no time spent seeking God's face throughout the week. Right? So often of the time, and my time as well, this is not me pointing at you, but so often the time we as God's people, we spend little thought, little effort preparing our hearts for the worship on Sunday morning. We just show up. Brother Aaron does his best to try to get us all on the same page, leading the music. And I know he takes that very seriously. But there's times, my friends, when we who have been saved for quite a while, we who know better, we who have experienced the grace and the power of God, yet we've spent all week, or at least maybe Thursday through Saturday, without a thought of God. And we show up on Sunday morning, and until the first song is sung, we put no effort into preparing ourselves for the worship of the Lord. And then we sit. And I sit on the pew. And I'm proud of myself because I got us all there on time, and probably everybody has socks on. And the message is being preached, and there's still nothing. I'm just sitting. Maybe they'll sing a good song that I like, that maybe it'll get me stirred. Maybe the preacher will preach on one of those passages that really gets me going. You know what I'm talking about. But we sit and we're consumers. We sit as if it's a concert that we've gone to rather than the worship of a holy God. Now, I want to warn you, because I know we all fall into this past. We all fall into this trap and in this error. And if someone were watching on and we see this person who confesses to be a Christian, and they spend no time during the week thinking of God and seeking His face, they spend no time preparing their hearts for worship, they come to the service and they sit just as a listener, as an observer, then we are led to one of two conclusions. One, you actually don't believe the gospel. Or two, we believe it's a magic book. I'm not saying that's what's in our hearts, but I'm saying that's what it looks like, and that's a danger for us, folks. We need to realize why we would never subscribe to this. We don't believe this is a magic book. This is the living Word of God. This is Christ, His message. This is inspired down through the ages and preserved for us this time. This is the very Word of God for us, for the world to hear and be saved. We believe that. This is no magic book. This is no magic house. This is no magic surface. We need to be careful how we treat it. We need to spend time during the week seeking God's face. Every week we come in and we hear the prayer request. Friends, we need to write them down. We need to think of them. We need to start praying about these things. We're in perilous times. We need to be careful that we do not slip to this side. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but that's not because it's a magic book. We don't believe that. And God, help us to stop acting like we believe that. So that's one extreme, if I may. Sacramentalism, magic book syndrome. Now, equally on the other side, there is another extreme which has been termed revivalism, misplaced zeal, or tonight, because I'm giving things fun names, Santa's Helper Syndrome. We're very familiar with Santa's Helper Syndrome. We grew up all our lives seeing all the different movies, all the different traditions, all the different folklore surrounding the Santa character and workshop and all those things. And here's the way I see it played out. Tell me if I'm wrong. There's a bunch of little people, and I sort of identify with little people. There's a bunch of little people, and they do all the work all year long. But then they smile and point to Santa, right? That's the way that it's played out. And I want us to be very careful, because perhaps more so than the first error, this is one that's really easy for us to slip into and treat the gospel that way. Let me show you what I mean. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, Paul just admitted, but that not all believed. So the problem is that we're not working hard enough. We've heard that. Remember, this is error by degree, so I'm going to try to paint an extreme picture. The practical adherence of this, we look at that and we say, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful, how praiseworthy are there to be the great preachers, the great evangelists, the great teachers, these people. They have gone out and we put them on a high pedestal, and we begin to focus so much on the work that we have to do, we become like Santa's little elves. We might point to Santa, or Jesus in this case, but we know all along it's really what we're doing. And when we hear of good things going on, it's very easy, and we just need to be so very careful, church. And I know you don't believe this at heart, but please take warning. It's so easy to get caught up and say, well, Zion must travail, and we use these things, and they're all true to an extent, but it's easy to slip off into an extreme, and before we know it, we're saying we're getting the people saved because it's our works that we've been doing. I don't believe that's been preached here. I don't believe that's what you believe. But I need to warn you, this is an extreme, and it's an error, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous for us to slip into, because that's not what the Word of God says here. That's not at all what Paul was talking about. That's not at all what anything in the Bible says. But it's so easy to slip into. We see that they have not all believed. We need to work harder. We begin around revival time, encouraging people more than we have in the past. And we've skipped the part where we're on our faces praying to God. We've skipped the part where we need to impress upon our children and our loved ones that it's the drawing power of God that must be present. And somehow we find ourselves sometimes, if we're not careful, begging people to come to the front. And it's a misplaced zeal. It's because we want to see them saved. And that's right. And that's good. Paul began in the very beginning of this chapter. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." It's right. And it's good for us to desire the salvation of our loved ones. It's necessary. It's natural for the Christian. But be careful that we keep it in balance. Do not slip into the mode where it's us, us, us. Where it's come to the front more than it's come to Christ. I'm not saying you do it. I'm just saying be careful, church. Be careful. I know, because I've been here. I've been a part of you, and your pastors preached, and visiting preachers have preached that there's no power in the bench. All my life I've heard our preachers say that. Thank God that they say that, because sometimes it sounds like there is. Careful, church, because that's not it. It's not about having a good presentation. You know, I heard a man one time, a preacher, as a matter of fact, and he talked about how that he had been baptized 4 times in his church. Of course, by the end of it, he backed up. He said, "No, I was baptized once. I got wet 3 extra times. But what would happen, he said, they would have an evangelist come in, and he had a fresh new message, right? A new way, a new word picture. And they'd get excited about it. And rather than relying upon the gospel, rather than relying upon the Spirit, they would come forth. And at that time, the church that he was in was just taking anybody and everybody to baptize. They'd take them up and say, "Hallelujah, they're saved." Well, that happened 3 times to him. But then one time. One time it wasn't based on the hook. It wasn't based on the clever phrasing. It wasn't based on some visual aid. It was based upon the Spirit of God that got a hold of him and drew him to Christ. And the man was gloriously saved. And now he preaches that it has to be real, that it has to be of God. Church, be careful. I'm not saying we're there. I'm not saying you're there. But be careful. Let us never go to that extreme. Let us never replace the work of God with ourselves. Let us realize that salvation is of the Lord. Let us realize that none can come except the Father draw him. Right? Those are the extremes. And at this point, you're probably thinking, "Well, Brother Woodard, we need to be worried about this one. We need to be worried about this one. Maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut, but I don't want to go wrong." Listen to the reality. Listen to the balance, because you know what? There's error in both sides, but there's a little bit of truth in both sides. Let's reread this passage, would you? I know it's we just read it, but keep in mind, we're not wanting to go to left. We're not going to want to go to the right. We just want to stay right in line with what the Lord has for us. Verse 13. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet." By the way, notice it didn't say the voice, the teeth, the hair, the good speech, just the willingness to go. Just the readiness to go. How beautiful is it that they go? And not how beautiful is it that they come up with good phraseology, how good of their alliteration. How beautiful that they go. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed your report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So what is the balance? What is it that we can hold to and not be in danger of this extreme or of that extreme? Here it is. We don't believe that it's just a magic book that we just say anything. There's got to be an interaction. John the Baptist began preaching. Jesus followed up preaching. All the apostles were preaching. Repent and believe. The gospel, the kingdom is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel. There must be that drawing. Jesus said, none can come to me except the Father. We know there's an interaction. God is proactive. He begins the thing. He starts working on them before we get there. But notice this. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are freed from having to have the perfect presentation. We are freed from trying to say every word just the right way, or come up with the right hook, or come up with the right word picture. We're free of that because that's not what faith comes by. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All we have to do, all we have to do is share this. If you're a child of God, all you have to do is share this. Share the Word of God. Share that love and that indwelling Spirit that comes boiling up inside sometimes. We are freed from all these other things. It's not how good we do. It's how good God is. We are freed from those. Be encouraged, church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All you have to do is faithfully defend and teach the gospel. Share it. You don't have to be a preacher. When we read through this, how can they accept with the preacher? No. We're all commanded to teach and to share, and in an essence, to preach the gospel. We're to be the witnesses for Christ. We're to share what He's done with us. We're to share the gospel, and that's where the power is. Paul said in the first chapter of this book, 16th verse, he said, I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. We are freed from having to worry about all the details. All we have to do, church, is share the gospel. We don't have to beg people to come to church, by the way. You can share the gospel outside of these walls. We don't have to beg people to do anything. All we have to do is share the gospel. That's where the power is, because this is how it works. And this is amazing. God has chosen this as His means. This is His chosen means of grace. When we share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, when we tell folks that Jesus came literally and lived a perfect life, and died upon the cross and shed His blood to take away the sins of the world. When we tell people that in 3 days He rose up from the grave, and even now He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We don't have to say it perfectly because God's already been working on the other end. God's already been working on those, because we don't know who's ready, whose time it is. We don't know who God is drawing, but God does. So all we have to do is tell them of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit, He anoints. He takes that word of God that we've shared from the Scriptures, that testimony that we share from our own experiences with God and our heart. And we don't have to drive it home and work so hard. We just share it because the Spirit comes and He takes that word and He takes it to their heart and He gets it inside and he cracks open that hard heart. Isn't that what happened to you? I was saved at what you'd call an old-fashioned revival meeting, like so many people are. And you know what? The preacher got done with his message and he gave an altar call. But you know what? It didn't matter. It was not His words, it was not His invitation that meant much to me. It was the Spirit of God that reached out to me as an 8-year-old boy and drew me to Him. Now, I came to a mourner's bench in the front in the perhaps traditional way. But my friends, it didn't matter. It didn't matter where I was, because it was the fact that the gospel had been shared and the Spirit of God was taking that to my heart, and it worked its work, and faith was sprung abroad. It was birthed in my heart, and I gave my all to Christ, and He has been with me ever since. Oh, be careful. We always have to be careful. How many times did the Lord warn His disciples, be careful. We don't need to drift into error. We don't need to go this way. We don't need to go that way. But my friends, realize the power is in the Word. So I hope and I pray that this encourages you. We keep our guard up. We don't want to go that way. We don't want to go this way. We're focused upon the gospel. We're focused upon the work of Christ on the cross. And we share that with our loved ones. And we trust God to do the work. Now, here's what that frees you up to do. It makes it all very simple. Because it allows me tonight, and allows all of us every day, to say my message to the lost is this. Believe the gospel. It works. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. And then it allows us to say, and as I'll say tonight, my message to the church, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Believe the gospel. Praise God, it works. For all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. Be encouraged, church. Share the gospel. Don't worry about being perfect. Don't worry about this or that. Share the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation.